Let's turn our Bibles, Galatians chapter 6 this morning. We're going to be beginning at verse 6, and let me read that to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, where the Bible says, the Word of God says, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit will reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in doing or while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of the faith. And the church says, amen. What a glorious word we have from Almighty God this morning. We've now arrived at the last chapter of Paul's great defense of the great doctrine of justification by faith and by faith alone through grace alone through Christ alone. Amen. We know all of those things, but it is amazing to me how the Holy Spirit, how he does such things. This morning, the incredible timing of this text with what we're about to do is just blows me away. In other words, the candy cane Christmas, it's the perfect text for God's whirlwind, amen? And so the word good, we started off with that word there. We're going to find that word throughout our text this morning. The word good means beautiful, it means excellent, it means noble. It's the same word used in John 10:11, where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. It's the exact same word. So this word means active goodness, or God's active goodness through you to other people. Amen? That's such a wonderful thing that God works through us like that. So it says to do good. Isn't it amazing that a whirlwind of God's goodness is about to descend here on this city, on this campus? The things that we're about to be doing. We're going to be sowing good into this community. What happens when we sow good? We're going to reap good. Now, with all that being said, as we step out, like it says, the psalmist has said in Psalm 37:3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Lord, we trust you this morning. We trust and we feed upon your faithfulness. Amen. Now, with all that being said, we're going to look this morning in our text, a time to sow and a time to reap, beginning in verse 6, and I pray your hearts are open. It says, let him who is taught the word share all what kind of things? Share in all good things with him who teaches. So this right here, Paul is telling as we start out, he says, listen, the church ought to do good, or really speaking to the Galatians and us, but to the Galatians, listen, you need to do good to your pastors, those who teach the word. In other words, here, it means literally those who teach the word share in spiritual things to you, amen? And he says, then it ought to be a reciprocation, sowing and reaping, if you will, and that they ought to share in your material blessings as well, or treasures, or so forth. In other words, this goes back to the very beginning in the New Testament where they would pay people, the pastors and so forth. So the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:9, it says, Paul writes, it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle an ox who treads out the grain. Is it oxen God is concerned about? Well, you know, God loves donkeys and oxen, and I don't know if he loves goats or not, but you know. But what would happen if a Jew, when this was written back in Deuteronomy, what would happen if a Jewish man, in other words, if he muzzled his ox while the ox was treading out the grain, the food that he was going to eat, what, and so he couldn't partake of it, what would happen to the Jewish person? The law says he would just be scourged. Think about that. He says, or does it say altogether, for our sakes, or for our sakes, no doubt, it is written that he who plows should plow in hope, he who threshes should thresh in hope, and here it comes, and should be a partaker or a sharer of this hope. If we have sown, Paul writes, spiritual things to you, eternal things to you, he says, is it a great thing that we reap your material things, the temporary things of life? Now, with all that being said, You know, Paul says that if God wants to take care of an ox, how much more does God want to take care of those who teach the word of God? Amen? So that's what this is speaking of. So he says, you know, don't muzzle out the ox. He's plowed all day. He's producing you food to eat. Give the guy something to eat, the ox something to eat. Well, I'm not an ox, but anyway, you know. Paul says, don't muzzle those who labor in full-time ministry, those who are missionaries and teachers and pastors and so forth. He says in the next following verses, he says, even so the Lord has commanded, meaning Jesus himself, that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And then Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that shall he also what? He shall also reap. So there's a warning. Paul tells the churches of Galatia, the Christians there. He says, man, listen, you got to stop deceiving yourselves. You know that you're being misled. What is he saying? He's talking about the Christians in Galatia. He says, remain faithful, in other words, remain in fellowship with those who are teaching the truth of the gospel, that you're saved by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, justification by faith. Amen? Not by works. He says, I want you to not remain in fellowship with the Judaizers. I want you to run from them, those that teach legalism and works that you must, it's Jesus plus something else. He says, no, you don't want legalism. You don't want to be under the law. You want to be under grace. He says, stop deceiving yourselves, because God, he is never mocked. Loved one, listen, the word mock there in the Greek literally means to turn up one's nose or to sneer at. It means it's a word of contempt. Boy, you know, God says, I'm not mocked. And you may say to me, well, Bill, the truth is God is mocked every day. That is a true word, isn't it? God is mocked every day, isn't he? But they don't get away with it. No one gets away with mocking God. Ernest Hemingway, who is, I enjoy his books. You know, I mean, there was a guy, though, this guy, he mocked God all the time. His lifestyle mocked God. He would even do the Lord's Prayer, you know, and so forth. He would say, our nada, which art in nada. What's the word nada in Spanish? Our nothing, which art in nothing. You understand it. He did it just because he sneered. He turned up his nose at God. Well, you know how he ended his life. He put a bullet in his own head. They're all people that are mocking God today. I got an email not too long ago, and you know what it was? It was a person in the streets with a placard or a sign, and let me read what it said. He says, if Jesus returns, kill him again. Dear God, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Have you ever done a study on seeds? When you sow things, just seeds, for example, aren't seeds amazing? I mean, you know what? Does the wind carry seeds, doesn't it? So the wind sows seeds. Water, the same thing, sows seeds. Trees and so forth, birds, all kinds of animals. You know, everything and everyone on earth, believe it or not, we're all sowing and we're all reaping and we're all going to have some type of harvest in our own lives. So it says, whatever a man, any man, any person, believer, non-believer, whatever that person sows, the Word of God says, they shall also reap. Now listen carefully. This is God's law. This is a universal law. It is unchangeable, okay? It's from heaven. Now, the farmer, when a farmer goes out and he sows wheat, doesn't he expect, whenever the harvest comes, does he expect wheat? Yes, he doesn't expect corn or tomatoes or whatever he's growing. If he sows wheat, he expects to get wheat. So whatever you sow, you will reap that harvest. If I put wheat, it can't change. It's going to come up wheat. Now, the Bible says in Job 4:8, it says, those who plow in iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. You see, it's unchangeable. It's a law. It says, and it's also, it's sowing and reaping is positive. It says in Proverbs 11:18, he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. It's also negative. Proverbs 22:8, he who sows iniquity will reap sorrow. And even sowing and reaping has to do with our hearing. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 4:23 and 24? He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And he says, "Take heed what you hear, for with the same measure you use it." Use what you hear. Listen to what he says. It'll be measured to you. And you who hear, more. Here comes the harvest. More will be given unto you. So God's word declares, don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever, loved one, in that word, whatever, it means exactly. It means exactly what it says. It means whatever. Let me give you a few more translations. The Good News translation says this: people will reap exactly what they sow. The New Living Translation: you will always harvest what you plant. The Amplified Version, one of my favorite versions for study: whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he will reap. Did you know that every person is a sower, okay? And so you decide, I decide, whatever I sow, I decide the harvest. I decide what the harvest will be. For example, let's just take it from the Christian, for us. You know, do you ever look at Bible study as you're sowing? Whenever you sow into God's Word and you're constantly sowing, what do you reap when you sow into the Word of God, learn the Word of God? You renew your mind, amen? So the Bible is full of sowing and reaping. I heard old J. Vernon McGee, I don't know when it was, sometime this year, you know, he's already gone home with the Lord. He was telling a story of a gentleman who went into the penitentiary, and it was to visit with people, but as he passed by this cell, he saw a man sewing up and darning, or whatever you want to call it, sewing up his sock. And so he stopped and said, "Hey, what are you doing? Are you sewing?" And the prisoner looked up and says, "No, I'm reaping." That is a true word, you see. Listen, you say, "Well, you know," you say, "Bill, this is not very positive." It's extremely positive. God's word is always good, loved one. Listen, you know how positive this is? Look back at verse 6. "Let him who is taught in the word share," or literally provide for, "in all good things with him who teaches." In other words, you're paying the money, helping him. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Now listen, to understand the text, you always have to read the context. So in context, what is Paul speaking about? He's still continuing from what we learned on Sunday about you who are spiritual. In verse 1, what does a spiritual man do? He restores, amen? In the next verse, verse 2, he bears one another's burdens. In number 3, he examines his own work. In verse 5, he bears his own load. In verse 6, here we are, right there, those who are spiritual are also givers. Now, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said this in 2 Corinthians 9:6. He said, "But this I say, that he who sows," we're talking about sowing and reaping, there's a time to sow and a time to reap, loved one. He says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." We reap in the measure that we sow. Now, this verse, all the Bible, is either true or it's untrue. It's a lie. I know that the Word of God is true. So do you. Amen? So when we look at this, it's not this what we hear today on TV. This is not, "Hey, you know, boy, I'm going to give and get and I'm going to whatever, you know, be rich and all that." That's not what this is talking about at all. It's not even giving to get. You know, that's the lowest motive that a Christian can do, is to give to get something from God when God has given us all things already. Amen? Now, but this is the lifestyle of a believer, of a Spirit-filled believer. They give. They support God's kingdom and so forth. Sowing generously is never, never a loss. Proverbs 19:17, you know, it says, "He who hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto God, a loan unto Almighty God." God says, "And I'll do this. I will pay back what you have given." You know, the Bible tells us, what did Jesus say about sowing and reaping? He says in Luke 6:38, he says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, running over, men coming into your bosom," and so forth, the whole thing. He says, "For with the same measure you use it," you give, "it'll be measured back to you." Now, somebody might be saying, there at home, if you're listening on the couch or maybe in your car or whatever, or here in the chapel, well, Bill, I'll tell you what, I sold bountifully, but I didn't get anything back. Very little reaping came into my life. Well, if that's the case, then you ought to do something. You better check out your heart. Amen? Remember what God's word said? 2 Corinthians 9:7. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart. That means not out of impulse. You want to do this. It says not grudgingly or necessity. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. See, when we reap when we sow with the right heart motivation. Amen? And that's what it's all about. Listen, if your heart's not in giving to God, you better not give because you think God's going to bless it. He's not going to bless it. You know, if you're greedy or it hurts you to give a dollar. I mean, come on. No. Listen, to give grudgingly is like insulting God. Somehow, some way, God has a special, unique type of love. God is love, but for those who give cheerfully, the word cheerfully, as you already know, means hilarious giving. Now, look at verse 8 again. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap what? Corruption. So only the Christian has two fields, okay, to sow in. Not an unbeliever. They only have one field. We have two fields, flesh and spirit, loved one. And we have two results or two kinds of harvest. So we know all about the flesh. That's that old slave in us that the dethroned fallen nature who always wants to have his way. Everything that flesh does ends up in corruption. The word corruption means to go from a good condition to a worse condition. And that's exactly where the flesh takes us. You know, Adam, whenever Adam fell, did he go from a perfect condition to a horrible condition? Absolutely. And that's what this word means here. Now listen, whenever we sow to our flesh, I'm talking about bad things, it always comes back. We reap it, but it comes back worse than how it started. I mean, that's horrible. I mean, that's a law, loved one. It comes back to us worse always. You know, David, for example, was he a man after God's own heart? Amen. Was he the sweet psalmist of Israel? Was he a mighty general? Did he love God? Boy, you better believe he did. Yet, there the king, in the spring of the year, when soldiers go out to war, there in the palace, he looked down Bathsheba. Listen, boy, did he reap a whirlwind of consequences because of that? Uriah, her husband, he had him killed. He lied unto God. He was never repented for nearly a whole year until Nathan the prophet came to him. And what did God say? David, your sins are forgiven you. However, there's going to be consequences. The sword will never depart from your house. What a horrible thing to reap. You know what happened with all of his children. I don't have time to talk about that this morning. But that's a law. It says in Hosea 8:7, they sow the wind, just the wind. But look at how bad it is. But they reap the whirlwind. How powerful is it if you sow to the flesh? It is horrible, loved one. Listen carefully. When one sows to the flesh, it is the ultimate corruption that leads to eternal death, meaning you never stop reaping the consequences. In Romans 6:3, it says the wages of sin is death. That word doesn't mean you die physically. It means you are eternally and forever separated from God from all eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank God for that. Man, listen, remember what we learned, those who practice those things that we learned, those that don't want to get right with God and they never want to get right with God, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It says, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? We've already learned it. It means to walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit. It means to live in the Spirit. It means for the believer to give the Holy Spirit his rightful place, his proper place. In other words, his way in your life. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Whenever we sow to the Spirit, something happens. We start manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. We start manifesting more than that. When the Spirit sows in us, we start manifesting Christ-likeness, don't we? Yes, we go from glory to glory to glory. So the more that a person sows to the flesh, the worse it gets. The more that a person sows to the Spirit, the better it gets. Now, he that sows to the Spirit will have everlasting life. What does that mean? You know, eternal life, loved one, is more than just mere living forever. Eternal life is the very life of God in you. That is God's life. Amen? Jesus Christ is the source of all life, everything. In John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. The Lord says, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Jesus is that source of life. And every person that is a true believer in Christ Jesus, you possess eternal life, everlasting life right this moment. It's your possession. The Bible says, Jesus said in John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has, right then, right that moment, everlasting life. Jesus said in John to Mary and Martha, he said, I'm the resurrection, I'm the life. He who believes in thee, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never die. Never die. In the Greek, loved one, did you know that's a double negative? It could read like this. Will never, no, never, no, never taste everlasting death and never be separated from God. The life that we have been given, death cannot ever affect it. Amen. What a glorious word to know. Death can't touch us at all, to be absent from our body, present with the Lord. Now look at the promise in verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing what? While doing good. Why? Well, for in due season, here's the promise, we shall reap. That's not the promise of being saved. We're already saved. That's the promise, loved one, of reaping. He says, and it's going to happen if we do not lose heart. In other words, if we don't give up. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Is there anyone listening this morning here in the chapel that can really come up here and stand and say, you know what, I'm just worn out. That's all. I've just done so much good in my life. That's all I do is I do good every morning. In other words, you know, hey, brother, what have you been doing today? Oh, man, I've been doing nothing but good, bro, all day long. I'm just worn out. Now, that's what you call a longhorn sermon. 2 points and a lot of bull in the middle, amen? No. What happens when we sow good? Because we're getting ready to, like never before. What happens when we do that? It says, in due season, you're going to reap. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, to everything there is a season. There is a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die. Here it comes. A time to plant, meaning a time to sow. A time to pluck up what is planted. A time to pluck up, that means to reap the harvest, okay? Now, there's a time for sowing. There's a time for planting. There's a time for harvesting, loved one. You know, and it says, don't you give up. Listen, God says, I've given you a specific time, opportunities in your life. In 25 days, we, the whirlwind of God, we blow into this campus. Amen? The great things that God is going to do. And don't give up. Don't lose heart. We should never do that, loved one. Listen, in due season, it says, we shall reap. If a farmer goes out and plants in the spring, can he kind of calculate when it's going to, the plant or the whatever he's growing is going to come up? Of course he can. That's what God's Word is teaching us right here. Listen, we've been planting for this outreach from January, the first week of January, when the God gave us the Word. We've been planting, oh, loved one. Listen, in 25 days, we're getting ready to see fruit. In 25 days, a harvest of all of our prayers and our hard work is going to be coming to pass. You know, I look out here at this campus, and here's what I see. Jesus is literally turning Calvary Chapel on December 5th, 6th, and 7th, or maybe just one night. I don't know. We don't know. Who cares? It doesn't matter. Whatever God wants. Amen? But he's turning our campus like one big, huge lake. You know, are you a fisher? You ever fish? Like one big, gigantic, huge lake. But here's the deal. He's stocking the lake himself. I'm going, oh, I can't believe this. In other words, he's stocking his lake with moms, with single moms with children that are poor. He's with grandparents raising their children's children. Man, he's stocking. And you know what? Why? So we can go fishing. Jesus is bringing his harvest to us. Does that not blow you away? Because it blows me away. And it says there, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Household of faith. God has given us an incredible opportunity in just 25 days. Unbelievable. Let us do good. That's what it says. Let us do good to all. When we do that, do you know that we fulfill the law of Christ, that we love, which is loving our neighbor as ourselves? That word all there, let us do good to all people, everyone. Did you know that that would stop racism? Do you know that that would stop prejudice? Because all people everywhere are made in the image of God, amen? Yes. Listen, all people. The Lord is bringing in the harvest for us, people that are lost, people that are saved, every race, every color, poor, and so forth. It doesn't matter. He's going to bring the lovable and the unlovable, okay? So don't lose heart. Listen to me. Never let an ungrateful person hinder you out there when this thing begins, amen? Don't do that at all. And it says especially, it says, be good to the household of faith. It says, we know that we have passed, in 1 John 3:14, passed over from death into life because we love the brethren. So don't lose heart. Do good to all. Did you know, I just read a recent study from the University of Tennessee. It's brand new. And they have been studying, I don't know how many thousands of people, but here's what they found. They were studying the brain, the activity of the brain. And here's the deal is this. When people went out and did only good things to other people, that's all they did all day. They were being tested. And I guess they were wired up. I don't know what it was. But they were doing acts of kindness and they were giving. Do you know what happened in their brains? It released dopamine. What does dopamine do? You get high. Listen, giving should make you high. You're going to be higher than a kite on that day. The opportunity that the Lord is giving us. You know, in the little chapel lobby right there, there's a painting. Or actually, it's an old famous painting. That they did a lithograph there for us years and years ago. It's of the sower. You know the parable of the sower. If you went out there, you'd see the sower. He had a little bag in his hand and so forth. He was broadcasting the seed everywhere. That's what you're getting ready to do. You're going to do good to all people, everyone that God brings us. You need to prepare your hearts now. You need to prepare the bag of seeds. And we know that the seed, according to Jesus' parable, the seed is the word of God. Amen? You need to be throwing out God's love to everybody. That's what you need to be doing. We know that there are going to be four kinds of heart, according to the parable that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4 on the parable of the sower. We know there's going to be the hard heart, okay? There's going to be the shallow heart. There's going to be the crowded heart. And there's going to be the fruitful heart. There are only four kinds of hearts. They will all be here on those days, loved one. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to just sow the word of love to them. Amen? The Bible says in Isaiah 32:20, blessed are you who sow beside all waters. Man, all waters. You know, like I said, that's a huge lake out there. And you know what? We're going to sow seeds of love. We're going to sow seeds of hope in their hearts. We're going to see people's destiny changed because of what you're going to do. It says in 3 John 11, beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. Hebrews 13:16, do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifices, it means it might cost us, and it has, No, it costs God. Such sacrifice, God is well pleased. Not just pleased, God is well pleased. Did you know that when we do good, do you know it is doing good is powerful? Listen to 1 Peter 2:15. For this is the will of God. And the will of God for you, for me. We're being commissioned by God to do something. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Muzzle. That word there, put to silence. It means to muzzle them. It means to stun them. It means when they see what we're doing for the Lord and for the people, you know what it means? It means they're going to be speechless. And when Candy Cane Lane Christmas is over, the city is going to be amazed at all that God has done. And there'll be no more sad emails like we've been getting here at the office, where people are going, saying things like, oh, yeah, we know, here you are, the church, you're going to prey on these poor grandparents and single moms. All you want is their money. They're rolling in the dough. No, we don't want anything from them. We are giving to them, amen? We're loving them. We're not going to get any more trash like that. We're not going to get any more where people go and say, well, okay, how about single dads? Like Sandra and Merlinda had to take care of them. They said, listen, you a single dad? You got kids? Come on down. Amen? Come on down. But there's more single mothers than there are single dads raising children. You understand? No, listen. The whirlwind is coming. The time is right. Prepare. We're doing all those things. And we've done something else. We've sent out the invitation. People are calling every day. We've sent out the invitation for this great outreach that God is going to make happen. You remember in Jesus' parable in Luke 14:12, he said this. He says, you know what, when you give a dinner, in other words, you give an invitation for dinner or supper, do not ask your friends, don't ask your brothers, your relatives, your rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. Now, Jesus is certainly not saying don't have family dinners. He's saying they can pay you back. He says, no, listen. He says, but when you give a dinner, when you give a feast, here it comes, invite the poor. That's what you did. That's what we have done. Invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Why? They can't ever pay you back. The ones that are coming can never pay you back. Amen? Do you see what I mean? He says, Jesus said, oh, you know what? You invite those, and it says, here it comes, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay, and you will be repaid. You sowed and you will reap. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just, meaning the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible tells us, loved one, listen, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, for we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the bema seat of Christ, the place of rewards, and give an account for everything that we've done in our body, whether good or whether bad. Now listen to me. One day, we will all stand together in heaven. And as we give an account, did you know that the day that we're out there loving people like Jesus said to do, that we will give an account of that in eternity. Listen to me. Candy Cane Lane Christmas. Jesus will go, tell me about that. I saw what you did. Here's the reward for doing that. It's going to be mentioned in eternity. Now that is what I call reaping. Amen. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for this day, for all that you've done. Lord God, I just pray this morning somehow, some way, every heart is touched. And again, Lord, the warfare that has just come in to try to steal the word and steal this day, steal this whole week. Lord God, we just thank you that it is falling to the ground dead, finished, over. Lord, bless your people. Touch them in the area of their need, whatever it may be this morning. Lord, let them know that when they sow good things, they reap good things. I ask your blessing upon them. And Lord, if there's anyone here this morning, Jesus is not their Lord, I pray that whenever the song is over, they will make their way down to the front here, where they'll find people that will love them and pray with them and lead them and introduce them to Jesus Christ. Now we love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning, shall we?